Our Bible reading this evening is from Matthew 28, which is on page 1001 of the church Bibles. If you need a Bible, please put up your hand and one of the stewards will come and give you one of those. And we'll read Matthew 28 and start from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. Please turn back in your Bibles to Matthew 28. Let me just pray as we're turning there. Father, we give thanks indeed that the Lord Jesus has risen. And we give thanks that he promises to be with us always. Help us this evening to listen, to understand, and to obey what he is telling us tonight. Amen. Now, when I moved to Nottingham a few years ago, it was clear that in our area of Nottingham, they hadn't met too many Glaswegians before. So that's fair to say. And I think they had bought into that idea portrayed by the media that we are either alcoholics or psychopaths. And I would put people's mind at ease very quickly by saying, "At least I'm not an alcoholic," and just leave it at that. The truth is, I grew up in a fairly ordinary part of Glasgow. My dad worked for British Telecom all of his working life. And when he wasn't working with BT, fixing phones and that kind of thing, he was working in the local church, serving in the local church. He served as an elder for many years. So he was a very, very busy man. And every summer, we would really look forward to our family holiday. Now, I know what you're thinking. Those Afflecks, they must have been really classy people. And they must have went to some really nice places. Let me put your mind at ease. We didn't. Every year for 10 years, we went to Scarborough in the northeast coast of England. And we stayed in some B&Bs and guest houses that modern sort of family, television, retail, and estate agents, they would describe them as full of character. We would have called them condemned. Those were the type of places where you had to be out by 9:30 in the morning. You weren't allowed back till 4 o'clock. Some of you laughing. Some of you have been there. Yeah. And there we would be, Team Affleck, down on the beach, rain, hail, or shine, huddling under a brolly or with our big jackets on. And my brother and I would wait for the immortal words from my mother, "Look, there's blue sky coming." As if suddenly a wee touch of sunshine would transform the seafront at Scarborough into the south of France. It never happened, of course, but they were brilliant times. But during one of those times, as we were sitting huddled with our big jackets on, waiting for the blue sky to come, the clouds grew darker and the sea grew a little bit rougher than usual and the rain came down. And actually, there was a time where even we had to run for cover because the thunder and lightning was so heavy. And there was little me standing in this concrete bunker of a shelter, looking out to sea and seeing this wee orange boat on the horizon. And I looked up and said to Dad, "Dad, why is there a wee orange boat sailing out to sea in this weather?" And my dad said, "Doug, that's a lifeboat. And that lifeboat is sailing out there to rescue people who are in terrible danger. And there's no one else going to go and rescue them. No one else is going to go out in that sea and save those folks. And the first image I want to put into your head tonight, as we think about these words of Jesus, these words in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." The first image I want to put in your heads tonight is that we are to go and offer people a lifeboat, folks. We are going and we have to go and obey the command of the Lord Jesus to rescue people who don't even realize that they're in danger most of the time. Like a lifeboat pulling up to a cruise ship who doesn't realize they're sinking, and everyone's still dancing in the ballroom away, quite happy, oblivious to what is going on outside. And the Lord Jesus says we have to go and offer a lifeboat. What do I mean? Well, if you're a visitor to Enfield this evening, if this is your first time in this church, Jesus is telling his followers, his disciples, the ones who say, "Lord Jesus, we trust in you." He's telling us to go and tell people about him. He's saying, "There is a lifeboat. It is me. It is the Lord Jesus. And I want you as my followers to go and tell people about me." And Matthew describes very clearly what that looks like. Flip back, if you will, please, just to chapter 1. Chapter 1. You'll read this a lot, I'm sure, over the next few weeks. Verse 21, an angel has appeared to Joseph. And Matthew wants us to realize why Jesus has come. Look at Matthew 1:21. "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And Matthew spends the next 27 chapters filling out exactly what that looks like. And when Jesus tells his disciples to go and make more disciples, he's saying to people, "Go and tell them about me. Go and tell them that I've come to save them from their sins." The first recorded words of Jesus' public ministry in Matthew 4 are, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus says to the whole world, everyone has turned their backs on God. The God who created them, the God who created the whole world, the God who's in charge of the entire universe. And humans thought that they knew better and that they were wiser. And they thought they could displace God and be in charge themselves. And the Bible calls that word sin. And every single person on the planet is guilty of turning their back on God, on rejecting him. And God says that one day he will hold people to account for their sins. And he would be completely just in punishing every single one of us for those sins. But Jesus says, go and tell people that I've come to save them from that punishment. Go and tell them that I've come to die on a cross for them. Go and tell them that I was perfectly innocent. And I went and stood in the place of the guilty. Go and tell them that I've come to save them from their sins, to rescue them, to welcome them back into the family of God. Go and tell them, go and command them to obey, go and plead with people. Tell them that I am the only lifeboat there is, the only rescue plan for the world. There is salvation that can be found in no other name than Jesus. And so when Jesus says to his followers, go and make disciples of all nations, he says, go and tell them about me. Go and tell them that I've come to save them from their sins. I mentioned earlier, I live in a town called Stapleford in West Nottingham. Of 16,000 people, if I'm being generous, there's about 1,000 Christians in town, if I'm being generous. That's 15,000 people who don't go to any church at all, who know very little about the Lord Jesus. And I would take that to mean that on the day when the Lord Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, that they will be lost eternally. Now, I know that I'm not going to be held personally responsible for that, for those people's sins. But I know the lifeboat. And I can share with them the lifeboat. And as long as I'm there, I will keep telling people and pleading people and sharing the Lord Jesus with them, because that is the only way that they will be rescued. That is the only way that they will not be lost eternally. When you put it in those kind of stark terms, it sharpens your evangelistic focus, doesn't it? It gets you on your knees and praying for people who don't know the Lord Jesus. It gets you thinking, as Johnny's mentioned, who can I give a gospel of Luke to this week, today, tomorrow? Who can I invite in a few weeks' time to come along and have dinner, and then let's go to the carol service? Because otherwise those people might be lost. And we know the lifeboat. And to encourage us, as we tell people about Jesus, look at verse 18 just for a moment. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." I know loads of Christians who think, "I'm not sure I can say anything. I don't want to sound daft to my friends. I don't know if I've got the words to say." The Lord Jesus, who had been crucified, who was dead and is now alive, stands in full resurrection life on that hillside and says, "All authority in heaven and on earth, every part of Enfield, every part of Glasgow and Nottingham, every part of this world, all authority has been given to me. There is no corner in our house that we can turn to where Jesus is not king. Nowhere in heaven either." And Jesus says that when we go and share him with people, because all authority has been given to him, some people will want to become disciples. Some people will want to take a Gospel of Luke and say, "Dougie, will you read this with me? Will you share the lifeboat?" The Lord Jesus says, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me." As we go out this week, as we see people and speak to people and pray for people, be encouraged that Jesus is already king, that he already has all authority. And the people that you're praying for and are about to invite, some of them will say yes. And some of them might even become believers in the Lord Jesus. Think of the joy in a few weeks' time if that happens. I know you're sitting there with sweaty palms and maybe worse. But what a great day when our friends and loved ones come to know the Lord Jesus. Because he's promised that some people will become disciples. And just as little baby human beings have to be cared for and nurtured and grown, so little baby Christians also have to be cared for and nurtured and grown. And Jesus gives three big characteristics of how we're going to make and grow disciples. And that's what I want to focus on just for the next little while. Here's the first one. We've talked about it a little bit. He says there, "Go and make disciples of all nations." I've talked a little bit about the message that we go with. But there's an expectation in all Jesus' followers that we will have mouths that speak about him and declare him to those who don't yet know him. How did these early followers do that? How did they live that out? Well, if you were to go home and read through the book of Acts, you will see that, well, some people just stayed at home. And they carried on with their lives and the business of what that looked like. They went to the shops and they went to the temple to worship. But the difference was that they were now telling people about Jesus. And they built into the daily fabric of their lives that they were followers and believers in the Lord Jesus. Some others dropped whatever they were doing. They gave up everything they'd ever known, and they walked or sailed across the known world and just told everyone they met about Jesus. Others just went home and shared Jesus with their family. Some spoke to movers and shakers and religious leaders and some people who thought they'd all heard it before and some people who knew nothing. The big thing was, though, they kept sharing Jesus wherever they were. They went. Now, I don't have to join too many dots for us tonight in applying this. Jesus commands that we have to go and make disciples. And the question is, how obedient are we to the Lord Jesus in this? What's in the diary this week? Who's the person that you're thinking of? How are we going to be obedient to Jesus' command to go and make disciples over the next few weeks? I know that's so hard. I know that's tough. I know that's going to be difficult. And maybe even at home it's going to be awkward. But King Jesus has authority wherever you're going to be. And because he has authority, some people will say yes. Here's the second thing. He says that as we go and make disciples, we're also to be baptizing people. We have to go and baptize folks. And it was great to hear that next week we're having a baptism service, or you guys are having a baptism service. That time where two people are going to declare to their friends and their family and the public at large, we follow and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus. We trust and believe that he died for our sins. We trust and believe that he rose again and that he's coming again. And we're not scared to tell people that that's going to happen. Back again in the book of Acts, 3,000 people one day were baptized. 3,000 people obeyed Jesus' command. Now, I don't know the logistics of that. It must have been some size of church lunch. It must have been an incredibly long service. But what joy that day when 3,000 people obeyed the Lord's command and were baptized. 3,000 people who weren't afraid to declare their allegiance to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian here this evening, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus and you've not yet been baptized, again, can I ask, what's stopping you from getting on to square one of the discipleship board? Johnny and Nathan would love to answer your questions about baptism. Johnny and Nathan would love to chat to you a little bit more about what that involves, about what it is that you're publicly declaring to your friends and family. That baptism then marks you out as one of Jesus' people in this place. There's an expectation that then you'll become a member of the local church, a member of the local church where you'll be encouraged and you'll be united with other believers and you will sit under God's word. Which brings me to my last point that Jesus makes, and that's teaching. Teaching. Look at verse 20. Jesus just says, coming in that sentence, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus says, go and make disciples, strong, mature, faithful disciples, by teaching them. Now, he doesn't say, send them an anonymous text message. And he doesn't post it on Facebook. He says, go and teach them everything that I've obeyed. He says, there is content to what I've been saying. All that you've seen and heard, that is content to be obeyed. Don't weigh it up as good advice alongside any other religious teaching. Obey it. Do what I've commanded you to do. And these faithful and reliable witnesses passed that on to other faithful and reliable witnesses. And they passed that on right down to today, where we have the faithful teaching in this place of God's word by faithful and reliable people. And I know there's a commitment in this church to that faithful, reliable witnessing to the Lord Jesus. And I know that that happens in various forms throughout the ministries of this church. And so for the younger ones, we do age-specific things for them, and that will be different for some of the older ones. But the point is this, it's not so that people get better at Christian trivial pursuit. It's so that people obey and do what Jesus says. And as we obey and do what Jesus says, the Bible says actually that we grow more like Jesus. Johnny shared an old Sunday school hymn of his of this morning. I'll show you one of mine. I'm not going to sing it. But we sang an old Sunday school song that said, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Now, you'll not just grow as a disciple, but you'll grow more and more like Jesus. And that's what he wants. That's why he tells his disciples to teach everything that he's commanded. Teach people to obey. That will be painful, folks. That will be painful. Because the New Testament talks about some things in our lives that as Christians we will have to put to death in order to obey what Jesus has commanded. And sometimes those are things that we really, really like to do. But because Jesus hates those things, we have to stop doing them. And we will have to start doing the things that Jesus loves. And that's going to be a hard and painful lesson for us to learn. But we're not just to be hearers, giving some kind of mental, yeah, I think that's right. We are to be doers of God's word. And we are to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. There are some people who claim to be Christians who don't live like this, who think that Jesus' teaching is something not really to be obeyed, that they can play fast and loose with. And I would say to them this evening, I'm really sorry, but the only discipleship that counts for anything, the only discipleship that will last, the only discipleship that counts in Jesus' eyes is discipleship that hears what Jesus says and obeys it. And we have to be obeyers of his word. How many sermons have you heard on Matthew 28? How many times have you heard these verses quoted at Christian gatherings? But are we doing them? At our church in Nottingham, we've recently been going through the Sermon on the Mount in our Sunday mornings. That little series of Jesus' teachings in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And a few weeks ago, we looked at a little section at the end of Matthew 5 where Jesus says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. And Jesus says, actually, love your enemies. And pray for those who would persecute you. And I was really challenged that day as we went through those verses. Because everything that lies deep within me wants to get back at people who have a go at me. I want to get him. Oh, I'm going to get him good. And being from Glasgow, that almost seems quite natural. And there's been times when I have got people good, to my shame and in my sin. And Jesus says instead, love your enemies and pray for them. And that's exactly the kind of thing he means when he says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Love even your enemies. Because that's Jesus' way. He laid down his life for his enemies. And if we are going to be his followers, we have to follow in his footsteps. We will obey what Jesus has commanded, and we'll do it. I'm nearly finished. Before I do, I wanted to share with you a challenge a friend of mine sent me a few years ago, it was now. We were talking again about Stapleford and Nottingham. And as we often bat these things around, as I mentioned, 15,000 people. In our church of 70-odd members, how many people could we realistically try and hit? How many people could we realistically try and make faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus? 10%? 1,500? Half of that? 750 people? What would be a good number? Now, I don't like to play the numbers game, but we broke it down and thought about it like this. If each person, if each of those 70 people prayed for and spoke to about Jesus and just shared with them, and that person got converted, if the 70 people in there did that for 1 year, we would double in size. In 4 years, we would reach 750 people. Now, Enfield is massive, and the numbers would be, you know, monumental. But whether you want to reach 750 people or one people, it starts by going and telling them about the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage you folks tonight to think about going and making disciples and telling them about Jesus and sharing him with folks. And wouldn't it be great if we saw a large number of people come to know the Lord Jesus? Wouldn't that be great? And my best West of Scotland understatement, that would be okay. It'd be okay if we could have loads more baptismal services. It would be okay if we had loads more teaching times and lots of ministries to help these young Christians become strong, faithful believers. But it starts with you and me sharing the Lord Jesus with our friends and neighbors. I know some of you have been doing this faithfully already for years. And it's hard because sometimes the Lord Jesus takes a while to unlock people's hearts. Let me finish with verse 20. Just those last few words. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Lord Jesus knew that it was going to be hard. The Lord Jesus knew that for his followers to go out into the world and go home and go to work and be around people who mocked and actually asked for his crucifixion. The Lord Jesus knew it was going to be hard. And he says, I'm going to be with you. Not until the end of your life, but till the very end of the age. Do you know something, folks? That's the age that we still live in today. And as we go this week, and we pray for people, and we give gospels to people, and think about who we're going to invite, we need to remember the Lord Jesus is right there with us. Right here, tonight, even in Enfield. Who will you pray for this week? Who will you go to? Who will you invite? Who will you read the Bible with? Who is the Lord Jesus putting on your heart right now? Let's just have a moment of quiet while we think about that. And then I'll pray and we'll sing our last song. Father God, we ask your help in obeying these words of Jesus this week. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to go this week and share the Lord Jesus. Father, help those who are considering baptism to let that be known and to obey the Lord Jesus' command to believe and be baptized. Lord, help us to long to know more about your word and to obey it and to do it this week. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.